Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that. I've been reading the Torah portions like on Saturdays the past, I don't know, 5-6 weeks. I just kind of felt stirred to open up with the Jews and read the Torah portion on Saturday mornings. And one of the things that another minister was teaching on in regards to the Torah portion, Andrew Barton, actually, or David Barton, excuse me, who we're going to be referring to a few times today. Amen. Anybody ever heard of David Barton? Just a tremendous biblical historian, loves Jesus and loves America, right? But he's also studied Hebrew, and one of the words that, like Shelley was saying, it's not a coincidence. One of the words that does not exist in the Hebrew is the word coincidence. Amen? Somebody say, God's got a purpose. Right? Amen. The blessing of God is on purpose. Hallelujah. So when we give, when we tithe, when we come to church, we are doing it on purpose. Amen. How many think that, you know, these evil, you know, demonic people, the Hamas, what they purpose, right? Absolute evil, right? And Satan, what Satan did, he did it on purpose. And so they get to reap the reward of what they did, which is death, right? And if they don't repent, eternal death. Not Satan, you understand. Jesus could save a terrorist, absolutely. I've heard of stories of radical Muslim people having a vision, a visitation of Jesus, and they see the light quickly. But when you've been trained, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's was teaching on this a little bit this morning, when you've been trained since you're a baby to kill Jews, I mean, that's just flat evil, right? So we need to be praying and interceding and believing God and that he would save even the worst reprobate we could ever think of. Amen. Hell wasn't built for people. Hell was built and designed for Satan and his angels. Now people go there, one reason why, right? The same reason why people get out. What did you do with Jesus? Did you accept Jesus or did you reject him? That's it. Amen. Anybody in here, have you accepted Jesus and what he's done? So you're on your way out of this place, man. And when we come back with him, we're gonna clean up this town. Yeah. Right? Amen. Who thinks the town could use some cleaning up? The town of planet Earth in general, right? And while we're here, though, the word says, occupy until I come. So we're not just allowing the devil to run over our lives, run over our family, run over the church, run over us financially, run over us in our health, run over us in our thoughts. No, no, no. We take authority in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's our responsibility before the Lord. Amen? Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today as we gather together on this special Sunday, Lord, this week that people will be voting, and this week of Veterans Day. We honor you, Lord, and we stand in faith for the healing of the U.S., the healing of Israel, the saving of souls around the world. The saving God of our children, our youth, that have been being brainwashed in liberal colleges and through social media and all these things. We take them back in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take our families back. We take our nation back. We take the White House back. We take the Senate back. We take the House of Representatives back. We take every courtroom back. We take our military back. We take our law enforcement back. We take the family back. We take arts and entertainment and media and government and religion, business, education. We take it back for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gathered here not by coincidence, but on purpose to take it back for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this being Veterans Day week, I know Reed is a veteran. So, Reed, we salute you for your service. Amen. Glory to God. And how many years did you serve in the, was it the Army? 3 years in the Army? So thank you for your service. Amen. And then is anybody else here that actually served in the military? How about you have immediate family that is serving? Amen. Or has served. So God bless you. Amen. Because you're part of them. Right? And we stand in faith for them. How many know we need to really be praying for our military right now? Amen. Because if you read, you know, if you've ever read through this book, and you go through books like Kings and Chronicles, there's this story, this ongoing saga of good king, bad king. Right? And when the good king was in charge, good things were happening, right? When the bad king was in charge, uh-oh. Right? And the bad king's problem a lot of times was they weren't taking stuff serious. They weren't taking evil seriously, right? In one of the portions of the Torah that was in the Torah portion this week was the story of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And you've heard the story, right? And the angels show up to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it, to check it out and see if the evil is true. And it was. Remember how Abraham talked him, you know, interceded for, because he knew his nephew Lot and his family were living in Sodom, right? And the angels come to Abraham, and they're like, we're on our way to Sodom because it's judgment time. The evil of that place is full. And if we don't take it down, it's going to literally continue to take over more and more territory, right? And so, I'm paraphrasing, and Abraham, you know, he says, well, what if there were 50 righteous in the city? Would you destroy it then? Oh, well, you know, if there's 50, we won't. They start walking. Well, hang on. What if there was 45? And he just keeps coming down all the way to like 10. And they're like, okay, if there's 10 righteous, we will spare the city. Well, of course, you know the story. There wasn't. There was Lot. And Lot needed a lot of help, didn't he, right? He needed a lot of assistance because he was in a lot of heat down in there, right? And the angels literally had to grab him and his daughters and his wife because of God's covenant with Abraham and walk them out of the city. But the thing that I want to emphasize here is that his sons-in-law thought he was joking when he told them, this place is going to burn, man. Ha, 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 come on. The economy's thriving. We're right here on the water. This is the biggest city. What are you talking about? That is so foolish. Amen? So when people don't take things seriously, now the joy of the Lord is real, man. But the joy of the Lord doesn't mean we don't take the devil serious. When he's threatening to, you know, mutilate kids, right? Create all this Marxist stuff in the world to divide people. When you think about how many things the devil has tried to use just in the past few years to separate people, right? Whether it was, are you vaccinated? Yes, no, yes, no. Separation. I actually called one of our senators and told them, I think her assistant answered the phone. I was like, ma'am, I just want you to know, this was at the sort of the end of all the shutdowns and everything. Like, ma'am, thank you for your service, ma'am. Don't yell at them. Start praying in tongues and binding Satan. that's not going to get you anywhere, right? That's only going to feed the narrative they're already on about people like us. Ma'am, thank you for your service, ma'am. Ma'am, my name's Steve. I live in Clark County, Washington. Thank you for your service. This thing with the vaccination requirements that y'all are emphasizing, shall we say, right? I said, ma'am, this is just one more thing that's just dividing us. Can you just let us be adults and decide for ourselves? The voice of the other line said, thank you for sharing your opinion, click. But you look at that, you look at the things on race that the devil has tried to use to separate the body of Christ even, right? Amen. The gender things, all that stuff, right? Just, it goes on and on and on and on. Now the thing with the terrorists. And there's people actually protesting in favor of. Now talk about messed up, man. Right? But the thing that this Torah portion emphasized was that people that jest and joke and just take it lightly are really in danger of being washed away with the judgment of God. Even though they're not as evil, they're not as deceived or whatever, they might have a some truth in them, maybe they've been to church, maybe they know about God, whatever. Danger, danger. Right? Those are the ones we're contending for. Right? The ones that are just sold out to the devil, we'll pray for them because it ain't over till it's over. Never. Right? We pray for the president, the vice president, all of the people in Hollywood, you know what I'm saying? We continue to contend for them. But contending doesn't mean pretending. Right? We stay on it in the name of Jesus. We have the joy of the Lord, but the joy of the Lord doesn't mean we're just joking about the issues of this world. No, 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 no. And that's what this message is going to emphasize today. Right? And we've been talking about lately the Lord's Prayer. We talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And in the meat, we've been emphasizing that really all year, taking the mountains of societal influence and give me this mountain and the kingdom reign of God in our lives, in the church. How many think God should be in charge in the church? Right? How many think God should decide who's in the church, who ain't in the church? Right? Amen. And how he does that, how God changes and gets involved and changes the government and changes education and changes arts and entertainment and business is he gets his people in those things. And at the top of the mountains of these things, coming in to serve and help. And God gets his hands in there. That's why our enemy has so long sought to divide the church. Amen? So today's foundation text, this message I want to entitle it is Our Most Solemn Trust. And I picked this picture. It's kind of faded there because it's so bright outside. No complaints, by the way, about that it's bright outside. We like that, right? We've had some of those days lately where it's 3 p.m. and dark, right? Because there's like clouds and, you know, all these things. Praise the Lord. But I love this image of this serviceman, U.S. Air Force, bowing down around flags that are put there to remind us freedom isn't free. There is a cost of freedom. The blood of troops over the years, whether it was the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, World War I, World War II, all through the years, millions of soldiers gave their lives for the freedom of this nation so that this nation could continue to preach the gospel freely, too, and bring freedom to other nations. I don't think too many of those, if we could ask them right now, we would meet them. The ones that they're, I believe the majority of them were born again, you know. When we meet them, I don't believe that many of them will say, yeah, I laid my life down so that a kindergartner can learn about how to be a transgender. You kidding me? Right? No, they laid their life down for the freedom of this nation, for the love of God and country, for the liberation of the oppressed. It's another thing that the devil tries to pervert is that definition of what does that mean? The liberation of the oppressed. I mean, Satan himself had that mindset when he was Lucifer. I'm being oppressed here. I'm being held down. I'm being used. What would this place be without me, he said. And he was such a good salesperson, right, that he convinced a third of the angels to follow him in his quest to overthrow heaven. And we all know the results of that. And apparently he hasn't got the message yet. that it's over. Somebody say it's over. It's over, man. Even in God time, see, we need to think in terms of God time. I remember when I was a little kid, it seemed like forever until Christmas would come. Right? Now that I'm in my 50s, a decade seems like that. And in God time, to him, a day is as 1,000 years. So we're just talking about holding on for a couple of seconds, right? Until the reign of Christ is on this planet. I mean, things are about to change. That's why he's so crazy right now. When you chop the head off a snake, the snake flops around for a while before it's dead. Amen? So we stay true to the faith. But Matthew 16, 13, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. Anybody a disciple of Jesus in this room, right? Amen. That's a good place to be. Matthew 6:13 says this portion of the prayer, and do not lead us into temptation. Temptation means adversity, and Satan is called the adversary. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, right? And oftentimes, especially since 2020, oftentimes when I see the word us, the Holy Ghost makes me think United States. So do not lead the United States into temptation, but deliver the United States from the evil one. Why? Why are you so selfish about that? Well, if you haven't noticed over the years, God has used the United States to help bring freedom and liberation to other nations, to bring the light of the gospel to other nations. Now, we ain't perfect. Of course not. Who is? What civilization in the history of the world has been perfect? But we know our roots. We know where our faith is grounded. We know this nation's birth was God's idea. It was not a coincidence. Amen? And we trust him with these things, right? But do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Evil means words like hurtful. Evil. Has anyone noticed any hurtful things that have manifested in our nation just in the past few years, right? Evil in effect or influence. Anybody noticed any of that going on? Evil influence. It literally means the devil. It means sinners. It means bad. It means harm. It means wickedness. So, Lord, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil influence, from the devil, from sinners, from bad. Oh, well, Pastor Steve, you can't say that was bad. These people, for example, that are protesting in favor of Hamas. Oh, that wasn't all bad. They're oppressed. Oh, my. Are they listening to the devil? Are they listening to sinners? Are they listening to evil influence? And then our commander in chief and vice president come out with a, we're going to come out with a, you know, with all this stuff going on, we're going to come out with a sensitivity training program towards Muslims. Because y'all are getting too mad. It's like, come on, right? How about bringing us back to faith in God? Hallelujah. Amen. But the word lead, somebody say lead. Voting is all about selecting leaders. So if we're voting for leaders that are under evil influence in this nation, that are evil influencers, that are hurtful, that are abusive, that bring harm, That's kind of on the voter, isn't it? Amen. And we can say things like the voting system is corrupt, which it has been. But somebody say, vote anyway. Vote anyway. Kenneth Copeland said, your vote is your seed. Your vote is your seed. How many Christians, just in the last couple of elections, are not putting these things together? They're just voting based on how the people they work with vote, or how grandpa voted, or what affects me financially the most. Not even connecting the dots. With life and death are in the vote. Amen. Right? But I want to look at a couple things in regards to the importance of us voting and making wise choices in who we elect. Hallelujah. Our most solemn trust. John Maxwell said this, everything rises and falls on leadership. He spoke at our church, New Beginnings, a number of years ago, and I was on the maintenance staff. It was a day, like a conference, and one of our associate pastors asked me if I would walk John Maxwell from the back to the sanctuary, make sure he got in the sanctuary okay. So I'm like, wow, I'm leading the leadership guy. He's right behind me. I'm walking to the open the door, and I turn around, and he's not there. And I remembered something I heard John Maxwell say. He said, how do you know if you're a leader? Ask yourself, is anyone following me? And John wasn't there, right? He had stopped in the bookstore to do a couple of things. I was like, and I walked back to get him, and he passed me heading to the sanctuary. Anyway, somebody say that. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So we got to pick people that won't lead us into temptation. People that won't lead us into adversity. Good king, bad king. Good king does not lead us into adversity. Good king lead us into victory, into peace. Bad king lead us into adversity. Anybody noticed any adversity in our... Right? Amen. Samuel Adams, one of our founding fathers, he said this. Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote. See there? Your vote is an offering. You're sowing it. That he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual. Or at least that he ought not so to do, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts. There you go, our solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and his country. So it's not should I vote, it's I'm going to vote. Somebody say, I vote. Hallelujah, right? David Barton emphasized this. I love the Bartons. They've got their website is called Wall Builders. I'd encourage you to have that on your phone. It's a great place to study. Because, again, our enemy has done a great job of disconnecting us with our foundation as a nation. And Wall Builders has done a great job of helping Christians be educated, helping anybody that wants to hear truth. Be educated, right? But Brother Barton says this in regards to voting, that there are five issues of righteousness to consider when voting. He said, you know what? Talk about the economy and this kind of thing. He number of things. He's like, that shouldn't even be in the top five. He said the top five should be in regards to judges. Amen. In regards to Israel. In regards to the acknowledgement of God. In regards to marriage, and in regards to abortion. He said those are the most important things to remember when you're looking at policies, when you're looking at leaders. Our website, I have a page on there called Love the USA, and I just added another thing you can click on there for Life Pack. We see their signs all over Clark County. I went in there and I found Life Pack Southwest, they're all over the country, but I found Life Pack Southwest Washington. You can just click on that and they do the homework for us. They'll say, this person, it's like in red, this person has been endorsed by Planned Parenthood. This person made a statement about not wanting marijuana. Hallelujah, right? So you, and it's in green. So it kind of helps you to go through, find your county where you're at, and you can actually go, if you're in Oregon, Life Pack is there too. You can just search it out and find it. And it actually helps you in your voting. There's another thing in there called iVoter Guide that's in there that just helps us to connect these dots with where these people stand. You can also, if you're voting for a judge, for example, just go to their website, because they'll act like they're not affiliated with any party. But if you look at who is supporting them, they'll have a list. It shows you where they stand. It shows you right there. Amen? Somebody say, I vote. I vote for godly judges, righteous judges, judges who aren't for sale, judges who aren't looking for bribes or special interest, favor with special interest groups, judges who aren't legislating from the bench, right? Amen. Judges who love this country, who love the Constitution, just doing their job, right? Amen. For Israel, we vote for people that are pro-Israel, not pro-Palestine. Now, God, there's a lot of innocent people in Palestine. We get that. Amen? But we are about voting for people that are in favor of Israel. Israel is a nation that God planted on planet Earth. It was God's idea. The land belongs to them from God. We vote people that do not hate Israel. There's people in office right now, one particular congresswoman I can think of, that is just downright led a revolt against Israel and has a following. Has a seat in Congress and favorable towards the atrocities that happened to Israel. And there was a college football game recently. Michigan State University, I'll just tell you. And they were having some sort of guessing game before I heard this actually on Rich Eisen, a sports commentator, was upset about this. He said they were having some sort of a guess who the famous person thing is, and you select it from your phone or whatever, and they put random people's, and it was huge, on their Megatron. And he said one of the people was Adolf Hitler. And this is after all this stuff happened. He said, I don't care if it has anything to do with that. He's like, that guy has no business being on a Megatron in our colleges acting like he's famous. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I vote and I pray. The other part of this is prayer. Somebody say, I vote and I pray. I vote how God says to vote. And I'm a prayer warrior. Hallelujah. The acknowledgement of God. You know, people that aren't going to infringe on religious freedoms in this nation. They don't act like Christians are evil and should just shut up and, you know, go away. Keep your faith to yourself. No praying at a football game. No, you know, all these kind of things. Like, oh, no. Separation of church and state was not created to keep the church out of the state's business, right? It was created to keep the state out of the church's business. That's just the truth. Amen, right? Marriage, sexual purity, husband and wife. What business have hospitals now? Listen to this, man, hospitals. I mean, people that are doctors, pediatricians, that act like sex change stuff for kids is just part of business. Something we can do to help your kids. That is scary, man. And we can't be like Lot's sons-in-laws and act like, oh, well. No. No. Hospitals that are treating people like numbers instead of like people they actually care about. Right? This is evil. Now, I know there's good ones. There's good doctors and nurses, obviously. I know some. But it's that general mindset as we're voting, as we're praying, we're keeping these things in mind, right? Godly marriage, husband and wife, that's it. Somebody say, that's it. There's not 47 genders. I saw it again on a public school, junior high school. One of the things they had on there about their anti-bullying statement was, we honor all genders. You're lying to kids. Lying to children. Children that already have issues. Right? Already have issues with their identity, and you're just adding a bunch of jacked up garbage. Evil. Amen. So we vote, we speak out, we get involved as the Lord would lead. Amen. Abortion, there's really no middle ground with abortion. I remember in the recent election when there was pressure even in the Northwest against this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And one person was, their objection was, these people want to end all abortion. The murdering of all children should stop. Yes. Yes, it should. Amen. Amen. I shared a while back that I was getting a coffee at like a natural grocery store in North Portland, and there were two kids in their 20s out front in ACLU vests. Girl had like green hair, and there was a guy dressed up like a girl, and you know, but you just go, I was like, hey, this could be interesting, right? So I walk past them, and they want to talk about, hey, and they're all happy, and like, hey, we're going to be suing businesses in the area that are anti-abortion. I'm like, what did you just say? We're going to be suing businesses in the area that are anti-abortion. I'm like, oh, well, then we're not on the same page. And they're like, what? We're not? I was like, no, we're not. I was like, guys, somebody has to be a voice for those who have no voice. And I said, that's where people like me and millions of other people like me, that's where we're coming from. Have a nice day. Right? Amen. Somebody say, speak up and vote. Amen. Vote for righteousness. Don't vote because, well, I don't like that guy's personality. I don't like the tweets. I don't like what is their policies? Their policies bring life. Vote for them. Their policies bring death. No matter how sugar-coated they act, don't vote for them. Amen and amen. Glory to God. For more on that, I need to move along, but for more on that, you can read Luke 19. This is something that David Barton talked about. Luke 19, verses 11 through 26, talk about accepting our responsibility to vote. It's the story of the ones that got given. Well, let me just look at it. It'll just take a minute. I mean, we gained an hour, right? Luke 19, 11 through 26. We'll actually start at verse 12 to save time. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. Somebody say, he's coming. He's coming, right? But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. And a second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put out my money in the bank, that I make coming I might have collected it with interest? So he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who had 10 minas. Now, Brother Barton was comparing this to people who vote as to people who do not vote. Somebody say, get your mina in there. Somebody say, keep your mina on Jesus. Keep your mina on righteousness. Get it in. Don't hold back your mina. Well, Pastor Steve, what's it matter if I vote or don't vote? It matters. It matters for you. Even if the person doesn't get elected that you voted for, that spirit that you voted for will rest on you and your house. Hallelujah forevermore. A few verses that we want to look at here, just they're in your notes. Joshua 24:15. And if it seems, we're talking about choosing. Voting is choosing. Choosing the right people. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves, Joshua says. How many know there are some people, even in the church world, who seem to think it's evil to be biblical? Let's put rainbows on our sign outside and just embrace all this crazy stuff, that this so we don't offend anyone. That's evil. Somebody say, keep your mind on Jesus. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day. This day. Somebody say, this day. Whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers that serve this day, which are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen and amen. Somebody say, it's a choice. Voting is a choice. I remember one lady that I met years ago, and she was probably almost 100 years old, and it was an election time. And she said, let me tell you something that my dad taught me. Now, that makes you listen when someone that's almost 100 wants to tell you what their dad taught them. She said, you vote for the one that's least worst. Hallelujah, right? That's decent wisdom. Now, back then, they may not have had some of the issues. Now, I'll tell you what, it has never been more clear in the history of our country, good and evil. There's no longer this gray area that people can kind of dog paddle through and joke and jest about things, right? No, you're either on one side or the other. Sheep or goat, good or evil, saved or unsaved, righteous or unrighteous. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 30:15, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Somebody say, I choose life. That both you and your descendants may live. It's important that we vote. That we choose life when we vote. That we choose righteousness when we vote. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Hallelujah forevermore. Heard some people making fun of our new house speaker. I got his name wrong last week. We're still learning his name, right? Mike Johnson. Yep. I think I said Jim Jordan or who knows. But I knew the spirit of the man. And I knew who I was talking about, even though I got his name wrong. But there are people making fun of him because of his faith. They don't realize that is the kind of thing that will save our country. People that live and take their faith to work are the ones historically throughout the history of this nation that have made a difference in a positive way, bringing our nation back to God, bringing correction to our nation, and not afraid to stand up to the tide of evil, right? Proverbs 29:2. Yes, Lord, bless Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson, right? Bless him, Lord. And all those like him, surrounding him with the blessing of God, the supernatural protection of God. Just pray right now for all those leaders right now, because they're out there, that are doing the right thing, and they're under pressure from the adversary, pressure from evil people, pressure from evil influences. We surround them, Lord, right now in every state, every courtroom, every police office, every military office, in Washington, in Oregon, in California, throughout our land, in Washington, D.C., all those men and women, God, who are standing their ground in faith and holding to what your word says, we surround them now with your peace. All those, God, that they're coming against, like the Donald Trumps, Lord, that are being persecuted, their whole families, not just the Trumps, but others like that, that are conservative and biblical and trying to stand up and fight for this nation, that this wave of evil tries to come and destroy it. We surround them with a hedge of supernatural protection of the Holy Ghost and the angels of God. And we bind Satan in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to steal and kill and destroy a nation. You will not have this nation, devil. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray again in just a moment. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29:2 says this: when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Has anyone noticed any mourning in this nation in the past few years? Right? That must mean that there's some wicked people bearing rule. When hospitals are, kicking people out and putting fences, I heard this one, they put a fence around the hospital because their employees would dare to ask for a little more money. That sounds like something they did at the state capitol recently, doesn't it? In Washington, D.C., put a fence around the plate. You're not striking, you're insurrectionists. Danger, man. That's a dangerous mindset. Amen. Somebody say, stand your ground. Stand your ground in faith. Hallelujah. We're believing God for righteous people to rise up in places of authority, in medicine, education, business, government, arts and entertainment. Glory to God for actors and actresses and singers and athletes, professionals that are standing their ground in faith. They're the ones that we back, that we support. I want to close with a devotional from Faith to Faith, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's devotional. This is from the 3rd of November, and it says this. Actually, it's from the 4th of November. It only takes a few. Somebody say, it only takes a few. That should encourage us, amen? Because the devil's team wants to make you feel like you're this big. You have no hope. Either you get on board or you're going to jail. How nutty is it? Or you have something wrong with you, psychologically you're just not there. You're slow. Right? Somebody say, it only takes a few to stand in faith together, to vote righteousness, and let God put his super on our natural. Hallelujah. If he can raise up, a little girl off the deathbed, he can raise up a nation. Can these bones live? And there was a rattling. Glory to God forevermore. The verse that he uses in your notes there, 1 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, somebody say, my people. He's not talking about the world. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Somebody say, don't jest about this stuff. Right? Take it serious, man. I'm not going to be swept away in the destruction. Right? And how many know, going forward, 2024 and beyond, we need to be real good about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit every day, every day. I mean, Lord, should I shop here today? Should I drive that way today? Should I go on vacation to this place today? Listen, somebody say listening, not jesting and joking about everything. That's why guys so often turn to sports, and some ladies may turn to gossip stuff, because it's like a drug. Ah, just lighten up. Well, we can lighten up in the joy of the Lord and yet still take the devil serious and put him in his place. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then, somebody say, then I will hear from heaven, and I will, somebody say, I will forgive their sin, and will, somebody say, I will heal their land. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody say, good luck with that, devil. Right? So if a few of us will just get serious, I believe I'm in a room with people that are serious about their faith in God. And you understand the connection of your faith in God and living everyday life. Amen? And Brother Copeland says this, you may be thinking, can a few people like us actually change the whole nation? I love the Copelands, right? Let me ask you this. Can one demonic person change a nation for the worst? Somebody say, yeah, we've seen that, right? Definitely. Hitler did it in Germany, didn't he? But if the devil's power resting on a man can change a nation for the worst, you can be sure that a group of men and women with God's power resting on them can change a nation for the better. No nation is so far gone that God cannot change it. Israel proved that. Why? Even when it didn't exist, the devil couldn't destroy it. God raised it back up before his very eyes. Interesting. Another that reminds me of something else that I saw in the Torah portion recently was they say that Abraham was born 1948 years after creation. Abraham was born. When did Israel become a nation? 1948. And in Hebrew, there's no such word as coincidence. Somebody say, God's got this, right? I want you to notice something in that scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, God didn't say he would take everyone in the nation to get things turned around. And isn't that the slogan of the world right now? It takes all of us. All of us. All of us together. If you don't agree with all of us, then you're nuts. Then you need to be locked up. Yikey shnikey, man. Right? He said, if my people, notice also that he didn't say, if my people will get out there and sign petitions and drum up a mighty vote, a majority vote. He said, pray. In other words, we're going to have to quit trying to work this thing out by ourselves. Isn't it good to know we're not by ourselves? We got all of heaven with us. Or more importantly, we're with heaven. It's one of my, I think my favorite presidential quote ever was Abraham Lincoln when someone asked him, is God on our side? And he said, that's not the question. The question is, are we on God's side? Amen, right? God himself will do the healing of this land. Our job is to pray, to believe, and to seek his face. Seek him today. Hallelujah. So while we're taking righteous actions, voting, coming to church, how many Christians nowadays, now I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here, but how many, anybody know any Christians that don't go to church anymore? Right? They just stop going. They taking it too lightly. I don't need to go to church. What do I need to go to church for? I can watch church online. I don't need to go. I have fellowship out in nature. Danger. Somebody say danger. Right? So while we're doing things, voting, coming to church, reading our Bibles every day, worshiping God, amen, somebody say, be in prayer. Be in a spirit of prayer every day. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about just English. I'm talking about praying in tongues. It's one, again, about the Copelands. His mother was a prayer warrior. That's why it kind of passed on to Pastor Terry. And she would just say, hit it in tongues. If you don't know what to say, hit it in tongues. And don't be surprised while you're hitting in tongues if you start getting words to say. Stuff just comes to your mind while you're praying in tongues. Sometimes maybe you're just praying in tongues. Other times he might give you a specific thing to say. Words are spirit. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up, and we're just going to take a moment. I want to cover in prayer these five issues of righteousness that Brother Barton was speaking about. And these coming elections, I believe this is boot camp for 2024, to be honest with you. Amen. 2024, there's governor's seats that are up, Senate seats that are up, presidential. I mean, it's a spiritual war. We're fighting for the heart and soul of this nation. Hallelujah. So let's start now. Somebody say, start now. Start now. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank God for his faithfulness to our nation, to Israel. Glory, 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 glory. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Sholo baba rekende shita rababakane ne ne ne. Sholo baba lava mama ne ne. Father God, we receive the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Your thoughts. Your selections, God, in these elections. The divine selection in each election. Those people, God, that you're raising up to places of authority, to be in office, governors, legislatures, school boards, senators, congresspeople, president, vice president, mayors. David Barton said, even dog catcher. We lift them all up to you, Lord. All of these positions, God. And we speak the wisdom of God, the right people that you would choose. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we, Lord, as your people, this is that scripture said, we take a moment, God, and we just say, Lord, we turn to you ourselves. We ask you to forgive this land of its sins, God. Forgive your people, ourselves, any sins as a nation, God, in the area of murdering babies, in the area of teaching children about perverse things sexually, in the area of worshiping other gods other than you, in disregarding Israel, your people, the Jews, and making decisions based on bribes and dishonesty, special interests. We put your interests first, Lord. We speak the righteousness of God in regards to judges, in regards to Israel, in regards to the freedom to acknowledge God in this nation, in regards to the truth about genders and marriage and sexuality, and the truth about the value of life. We ask you to forgive us, Lord God, as a nation, for approving and condoning and encouraging such things that bring death. For I remember, Lord, in the Torah study again, that's why those angels came, was that evil had reached its peak and God had to literally remove it from the earth. And we speak in the name of Jesus that evil influence in this nation, hurtful leadership, abusive leadership, harmful, wicked leadership, the devil's leadership is coming to an end. Coming to an end. We draw a line in the sand and we say, it is finished. Satan, your plan for this nation will come to nothing. And righteousness is rising up. A love for God is rising up. Repentance and turning to God is rising up. We bind the spirit of slothfulness and jesting and joking off of your people. We speak a revival, a reformation that brings transformation and truth to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, we commit to be people that stay in faith regarding these things, that don't sorrow and grieve and get into hopelessness and despair. We bind that spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our forefathers faced terrible odds as well. Our forefathers faced crisis, death, threats, evil, the same devil back then. But the same God that brought them up and over the mountain is going to manifest himself again in this nation. That we will be a part of the greatest revival in the history of the world before the rapture. We commit ourselves to stay ready, to be interceding all day, every day, praying in the Holy Ghost, binding the devil, being ready to preach the gospel, and living clean, pure lives. Somebody say, purify my heart, Lord. And we release that supernatural protection over your people, Lord God. We hear your voice. We follow you. A stranger's voice, we will not follow, the word says. We know the voice of Jesus. And we will follow your lead, Lord. Every area of our life. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.